Psalm chapter 35. When you come here, bring a Bible. Amen. We preach out of the Bible. I give you a lot of Bible. I like Bible preaching. Amen. I want you to see it in the book. Amen. Don't believe a word I'm telling you. God be true, but every cotton-picking man a liar. Don't believe me. Believe the book. And I like to give you verses a lot more than most preachers probably do. I can give you a lot more, Miss Karen knows. She sees my notes. I skip a lot. It's good when I preach it the first time. Sometimes I have to cut it down a little bit. But Psalms chapter 33. Psalms 33. The Bible says this about the Lord. And it's going to be, I want you to pay attention this morning about this message. This may be one of the most important messages you've heard in a while, especially where we're at today. The Bible says this, Psalms 33:5. It says about the Lord, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Look at Psalms 37, verse 28. Psalms 37, 28 says this. I could give you a lot of verses like this. Psalms 37, 28 says, For the Lord loveth judgment. Flip over to keep Psalms handy. Flip over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. God is a God of judgment. Psalm 61 verse 8 says this. Psalm 61 8, the word of God. For I, the Lord, love judgment. People say, don't judge me. You need to read your Bible. God loves judgment. Amen. Flip over to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 16 says this. Isaiah 5, 16 says, But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. Come back to Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9. God loves judgment. God is a God of judgment. God is exalted in judgment. Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9. Verse 16 says this, The Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. And I want to preach a little bit this morning on the Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. And a lot of people in the world, they don't understand that. They don't understand that until you get to the Word of God, until you get saved. But you know what I found out through the years, and I've been saved for 42 years, I've seen a lot of people get saved. I've seen that most people, when they get saved in time of judgment in their life. Most people get to know God. The Bible said He's known by the judgment that He executeth. Most people get saved when there's tragedy and times in their life and they have to turn to God, and that's when they get to know Him, and He's known by the judgment that He executeth. Right. We went down to Jimmy Hale Mission and preached for 30 years. I told you a little bit about that this morning. And I'm going to tell you, brother, that's the best place I've ever preached in my life. And I preach in some pretty good churches. I've been in some good churches. I've been in where God moved. But I'm going to tell you, God gets in that thing, and boy, they sing out and they shout and they get excited about God. You know why? Because God is known by the judgment that He executed. And a lot of them men have been under the judgment of God, and they got to know Him through it. A lot of times in life, we don't know God sometime when we're up on the mountain. It's down in that valley where that lily grows, brother. It's down in that valley where those cool waters are brimming. Up on the mountain, very few things grow up there on that mountain. But God is known by the judgment that He executed. Brother Ruckman down there in Pensacola, he went home to be the Lord. He was 95. Brother Ruckman got saved. I think, how old was he when he got saved? He'd been preaching for 50-something years or longer. He preached all over the country, some of the best churches in the whole world, wrote 300 books, pastored, done all that stuff. In the last 4 or 5 years, Brother Peacock and some other men got him in prisons, and he got preaching in prisons. And he wrote an article in the Bulletin years ago about that, and he said the title of the article was, The Lord Saved the Best for Last. Rugman said the last those years preaching in the prison with those men was the most fruitful, joyous times of his whole Christian life. And he said he got to know God through those prisoners as much as anything in his life. You know why? Because they're going through judgment, and the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. People get to know God, brethren, when they go through things and they're in the judgment and there's no other place to look. Brother Robert got saved when he had 48 accounts of grand larceny at a Billy Graham crusade in Mobile. You know what? God is known by the judgment which he executeth. And I want to preach a little bit about that. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. Brother Brian Tillman, will you take us to the Lord in prayer before the message? Amen, amen. 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 And I want to say a few things about it. God is known, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. And I want to say first of all about judgment. Judgment declares the judge. You know, when judgment falls, you know what happens? It lets you know who is really in control of everything, doesn't it? And I got news for you. President Trump's not in control. I got news for you. Congress is not in control. I got news for you. The Supreme Court's not in control. I got news for you. ISIS is not in control. The Muslims are not in control. I want to tell you there's only one that's in control, and the judgment declares the judge. Oh, what's going on? And brother, when judge falls, you know where people look toward? They look toward the judge, brother. They're not looking toward the government. When real judgment falls, take your Bible. Turn over to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 75. There's one theme that goes throughout the Bible. It goes from Genesis to Revelation. And that theme is that God is the judge of this earth. God is in control, and sometimes God reaches down when he brings judgment to this earth. You know what he lets you know? He lets you know who the judge is, brethren. Judgment declares the judge. Look at Psalms chapter 75, verse 7 says this. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Psalms chapter 50, verse 6 says, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Proverbs 13:23 or Hebrews 12:23 said God is the judge of all. And there's one theme that goes throughout that Bible, and it's that God is in control, and judgment declares the judge. Amen. When judgment falls, you know what? People look toward the judge. 1 Chronicles 16:14. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgments. You know how God lets you know he's in control and how he declares he's a judge? He lets you know through judgment falling on this earth. Bob Jones Sr. said years ago, he said, hell is God's judgment on this life after here. And he said, war is God's judgment for here. You ever notice how many men they got saved in a foxhole? Giant John McCain grew up Episcopalian, knew nothing about God, was in that church, but he got thrown in a prison camp over there in the prisoner war, and they began to beat and torture him, and he got a great Christian testimony. He goes to a Baptist church. He's a great Christian, by the way. And old John McCain said he got alone in that cell, and all he knew to find was God. There was nothing left. And he said, I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew there was a God, and I knew I had to get hold of him. I told you about Jacob the Shazzer, thrown in that prison a while back, a few weeks ago. He wasn't a Christian. He was an atheist. He was thrown in that prison, and he begged for a Bible. You know why? Judgment will declare the judge. Richard Wambron, he spent 13 years in a concentration camp in Romania. In his book, Torture for Christ, he says this. on a train, a Russian officer sat in front of me. I'd spoken to him about Jesus Christ for a few minutes when he broke out with a torrent of atheist arguments. Quotations from Marx, Stalin, Voltaire, Darwin, and others against the Bible just flew out of his mouth. He gave me no opportunity to contradict him. He spoke for nearly an hour to convince me there was no God. He said when I finished, I asked him, if there is no God, why do you pray to him when you're in trouble? You know what judgment does? It declares a judge. And like a thief surprised while stealing, he replied, how do you know that I pray? I did not allow him to escape. I asked my question. I said, well, I ask you why. Please answer. Why do you pray if there's no God? He bowed his head and acknowledged, in the war on the front, we encircled by the Germans, we didn't know anything to do but pray. All we prayed was a God of our mother. You say, what are you trying to say? I want to tell you, judgment declares the judge. Man, when the judgment falls through, you know what people look toward? They're looking toward the judge of this earth. They don't look to the president. They're not praying to Congress. Brother, there's only one that they'll get hold of, and he's known by the judgment that he executed. We had a revival in Alabama and Birmingham a few years ago. 2011. He said, I didn't hear about it. We had a big revival April 2011. Tornadoes came through this land. Tornadoes came through here, man. And I mean, it leveled houses. It let it down. And you know what people were doing? Brother, they were praying, getting hold of God. I mean, they weren't getting down there doing no, you know, now Lord, lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul that I might keep. Brother, they were down there in bathtubs. They were in closets, Brother Chris. They had their family down there. They're, oh God, save us. God, protect us. You say, what went on? Brother, there was a revival went through when that thing went through. He is known by the judgment which he executeth. Judgment declares the judge. Isaiah chapter 5, 16. Look at it. We turned there earlier. Get Isaiah chapter 5 and Romans chapter 11. Judgment declares the judge. He lets you know who's in control of this deal. And it's not man. We're not in control. We think we are sometimes. Brother, God can reach down so easily and change everything we got going. Just like that. I preached after that tornado came through here in January 2015. Wiped out that area out there in Center Point and Pinson. I preached at the First Baptist Church of Clay a couple of weeks after this tornado came through. That church was packed. They had people in that church that lost houses, been injured, and I preached on the testimony of the storm. I said it was a testimony to the power of God. I said it was a testimony to the powerless of man. All their Dopplers, all they knew, they couldn't do anything to stop it or slow it down. I said it was a testimony to the refuge of prayer. There were people down there praying, get hold of God like never before. I said it was a testimony to the praise of God. There were people on that show I saw on TV that lost everything. I never forget, there was a little girl there, Hackleberg. She was planning on getting married and had her wedding set up in her house. Brother Chris, I never forget it. It was in the background. It was nothing but toothpicks. And there was this little girl who was saved, about 20-something years old, and was getting prepared to get married. And it tore the house down and wrecked her marriage plans. She was standing on that show, Brother Robert. Boy, she had a smile. She had a shine. She had a glow about her, brother. And she said, God's so good to me. Woo! She said, he's been so good to me. She just said, I just can't praise him enough. And I'm thinking, girl, your house is toothpicks. Your marriage got worn apart. But you know what? God is known by the judgment he executed. God will let you know every once in a while. Said, hey, I'm still here. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 16. Isaiah 5, 16. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. I seen people that day after that tornado came through and they lost everything. I seen them walking around praising God. I said, that's not natural, man. You just lost everything. And they're running around shouting and praising God. You say, why? Because he gets exalted in judgment. Look over Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. Judgments declare who the judge is, brethren. And that you know that God is in charge and in control of what's going on. I saw something week before last I thought I'd never see in my life. I don't think I'll ever see it again. I'm almost certain I won't. But I never thought I'd see what I saw a couple of weeks ago. That Hurricane Irma was coming down, brethren. That was the largest, most powerful hurricane ever recorded. Man, I saw that thing on the Doppler. Man, that was a wicked hurricane. And son, I'm telling you, Brother Chris, that thing was headed right down the center of Florida. It would have wiped it out. You see what it did in the Virgin Islands? There was nothing left. It was the largest mass evacuation of humans in history. All those Florida people were getting out. Brother, that wicked thing, that thing was headed toward Florida and it's about to level it. I saw Rick Scott, the governor of Florida, come on TV. He's a Christian man. I looked him up, read about him. He got on there, Josh, I never thought I'd see this in my life. I never saw ever see a government official. He got on there, tears in his eyes, and about a few hours before that thing was prepared to hit, and he said, pray for us. Pray for us. And he said this, pray that God would have mercy on us. I told my wife, I said, God answer that prayer. You know what that hurricane did about that time? You know what it did? It moved this way and it skimmed along the border of that Florida and took a little turn and just hit the side, let them know he was there. Brother, I'm going to tell you, God known in judgment. Judgment declares a judge. Amen. And brother, he knew who to get hold of. Pray. Pray that God would be merciful to us. You know what? God's in control, brethren. Judgment declares the judge. I'll tell you something else judgment does. Judgment decrees the judiciary. Judgment decrees the judiciary. You know what the word judiciary means? It means the laws and the statutes and the commandments and the things that the judges use to clarify and execute the law. And I make no mistake, brethren, this book right here is the judiciary of the Lord of God right here. Amen. That's right. This is His laws. Third. This is His commandments. This is His statutes. This is His judgment. And judgment decrees the judiciary. You know, this book is called the law over 600 times in this Bible. Amen. It's called the judgment 294 times. It's referred to as statutes 167 times in the King James Bible. Psalms 1, chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The Bible said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Psalms 119. Judgment declares the judiciary, brethren. Amen. That book right there is the judiciary of God. And when you go against that book, and a country goes against that book, and somebody mocks that book, I'm going to tell you, judgment's coming. This is God's law. It's called the book of the law 19 times. Amen. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in all the Bible. And it deals with the Word of God. Verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. Amen. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Verse 7, I have learned thy righteous judgments. Verse 8, I'll keep thy statutes. Verse 12, teach me thy statutes. Verse 13, all the judgments of thy mouth. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. 18, open thy mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Verse 20, my soul breaketh of the longing that it hath unto thy judgment at all time. Verse 23, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Verse 26, and thou heardest me, teach me thy statutes. Verse 29, move me from the way of lying, grant me thy law graciously. Verse 30, I've chosen the way of truth, thy judgments have I laid before me. Over and over and over and over and over and over. In Psalm 119, it's called the statutes. It's called the law. It's called the judgments of God. Brother, judgment decrees the judiciaries. This book right here, you go against this book, I got news for you, friend. You'll lose.
Right.
Every time, every country that's denied and attacked, the Bible said, whoso denieth the Lord shall be destroyed.
Right.
Let me tell you, brother, this is the judgments of God right here. This is the law of God right here. This right here is the judiciary, and the judgment decrees the judiciary. This book right here was the foundation of the laws of this country. You read Leviticus, you read over there, you are reading what was the beginning of the laws of this country. Don't let them kid you, brother. The Supreme Court, when you walk in to the building, outside, it's this right here. This is a bunch of people say, well, it's a bunch of lawgivers. Yeah, but there's one of them that stands out, and they're all looking toward him. And that's Moses sitting there with the Ten Commandments. When you walk into the Supreme Court, the building. When you go in the door, on the door is this right here, etched on both of the doors when you walk in, the oak doors, the Ten Commandments. When you go in the front of the court and you stand in the court and look above the judges, you know what there is? There's this right here.
Amen.
You know why? Brother, that book right there is a judiciary of the Lord. And this country was founded on the Word of God. People that wanted to worship God, brother. And all throughout the Supreme Court, in the Capitol, you find the Ten Commandments. James Madison, the fourth president, known as the father of our Constitution, he was a great Christian, said this, we have staked the whole of our political institutions on the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. What it was founded on is what he said. Patrick Henry, the patriot, said this, it cannot be too emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, not by creationists, but by Christians, and not by religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother, judgment decrees the judiciary. Newsweek magazine, December the 27th, 1982, an article entitled, How the Bible Made America, I showed it to you a few weeks ago, said this, historians are discovering that the Bible, perhaps even more than the Constitution, is our founding doctrine. And let me tell you, brethren, this Bible right here is a judiciary of the great judge of this universe. This is what he goes by right here. He's not interested in the Constitution of the United States. And by the way, I'm not either. Just throw that in there. I'm interested in this right here, brother. I'm interested in this judiciary right here. You know what? This book is still considered the banner of all truth and judgment. Despite they've denied it, they've mocked it, they've destroyed it, they've ridiculed it, everything they could to try to get rid of it, still, when you go to court and they put you on that witness stand, you know what they get put out there? It's right here. They don't put the Quran. They don't put the Constitution.
Amen.
They put this book right here and put your right hand on this Bible and say to you, solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you say, why do they put that Bible? Because this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, brother. And right here, this is a judiciary of the judge. Every president we've ever had, every one of them, when they took an oath of office, you know what they did? They put their hand on this Bible and took that oath. They deny it, some of them. They ridicule it, some of them. But bless God, they still know that this book right here is the judiciary. This is the law. This is the judgment. This is the statutes of God. Judgment decrees. It decrees the judiciary. Amen. Bible said, John 17:7, sanctify them through truth. 17:17, sanctify them truth, thy word is truth. Everybody who gets around that Bible, I don't care if they're lost or saved, they respect that book. They know there's something different about that book. I was down at Adamson Ford two years ago getting my oil changed. And there's a Chinese man in there, a nice looking man. Kelly is a professional. His professor at UAB taught international business. His wife was a doctor over there. Nice looking gentleman. You never know giving tracts. You never know what you get, you know. But I went over and gave him a tract. Said, I'll give you a tract, tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ, how much he loved you. And that guy was saved. He loved God. Man, he was an amazing Christian for the Lord. And he was telling me he had a little Bible with him. He pulled it out of his pocket. And he said his wife gave him that little Bible years ago. And he said he takes it everywhere he goes. And he said, that Bible has saved my career 3 times in my life, he said. He was telling me one time he worked for a company, and this guy lied about him, said some things about him, and the company was going to fire him, and he called the guy in there, called the office, and he had the guy in there, and he put his little Bible out there and sat on the desk. He said, okay, I want you to put your hand on that Bible and tell them what you just said. He said that guy looked at that Bible and started shaking. Here, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You say, why? Even though they may deny it, they know this is a judiciary of the truth right here, brother. Judgment. Judgment decrees. Judiciary. I've seen them people, I've taken that Bible, talked to them about it. And brother, this Bible, it makes them sweat. I worked with a fellow years ago, one of the smartest guys I ever seen in my life. His name was Jerry Schubert. He's a Jewish fella. Jerry was a big old guy. He was 6'8". 6'8 tall and 6'8 wide. Monster. One of the smartest guys ever been around. He went to Georgia Tech on a football scholarship. Had an engineering degree. He played guard next to Bill Curry there. He later played for the Green Bay Packers with Curry, with Vince Lombardi. He owned all these nightclubs in Birmingham. He owned the Boom Boom Room, Rocky Raccoon, all those, every one of them running around. He got in trouble with the government, with taxes, evasion, looked at 20 years, did a plea deal, got out of that. He was a consultant with me. We consulted oil companies, set up a computer system for oil companies. One of the smartest guys I ever met in my life. He is agnostic. I'll never forget one time, sitting in the break room. This was, I was 28 years old at the time, right out of Bible school, pastoring a little church at the time. I was sitting in the break room, sitting down there reading my Bible. He said, you don't take that thing serious, do you? I said, I do. He said, you know, that's just Jewish folklore. I said, I don't think so. And I said, let me show you something. And I reached over there and took him to Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 over there. And I flipped it over to him. I said, read that to me. And he read it. I said, read it out loud. And he said, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. He pushed it back. I went over there and took Mark chapter 8, verse 36, verse 37, and I flipped it back over. I said, read that Mark 8:37. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He flipped it back. I took and flipped about 6 or 7 verses, and after a while, that guy got sweating worse than I am right now. I mean, he was reading that Bible and sweat was pouring off his face. And I pushed it over there to him another time. He said, oh no. He said, I've had enough of that book. I'm going to tell you, brethren, that book right there is the judiciary, and judgment decrees. It decrees the judiciary. This book, turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Here's what the Lord Jesus said. John chapter 12. Judgment declares the judge. Judgment decrees the judiciary. You go against that book, I don't care who you are, how big you are, how tough you are, how smart you are, how rich you are, that book right there will take you down. Can you say, Bill O'Reilly? Bill O'Reilly came out, wrote Killing Reagan, Killing Douglas, and he wrote one, Killing Jesus, Mocking the Lord. And he said in there, Jesus was crucified for three reasons. Taxes, taxes, taxes. And I'd sit up here and told you, I said, that guy's in trouble with God. He was king of the cable news, brother. He was top dog. I tell you right now, he couldn't get a job delivering papers for the Trustful Tribune over there. Say, what happened? That judiciary chopped him down, brother. Can you say Kathy Griffith? Top comedians, one of her shows, she started mocking Jesus Christ, brother, and the judiciary went through and whoo! That's the laws, the judgments, and the commandments, and the statutes of the judge. And he'll judge you based on his judiciary. Look at John chapter 12. Jesus said this, John 12:48. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words, hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, this book, the same shall judge him in the last day. You read over Revelation chapter 20. It said, I saw the dead, small and great, rise, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things written in the books. I tell you, the books are this right here, brother. This is a judiciary of the judge. Supreme Court, 2015, declared that same-sex marriage was the law of the land. Donald Trump and Ted Cruz said, it's settled law. It's now the law of the land. It might be the law of the land, but it's not the law of the Lord, brother. And I'm going to tell you, brother, this country's in trouble when you go against that judiciary of the judge. This right here will take you down. There's a famous man named Voltaire. Voltaire was a French atheist. One of the most famous men that ever lived in his days. He wrote over 2,000 books, most of them against the Bible. Invented all kinds of science. He died in 1776, I think it was. Voltaire, he hated the Bible, ridiculed the Bible, mocked the Bible. He made the famous statement. He said, 50 years after the day I die, he said, I'll destroy the Bible. He said, when I get through with it, he said, there won't be nothing left. He said, 50 years after the day I die, he said, the only place you'll find the Bible will be in a museum. That's what he said. When he died, the nurse that sat beside him, he was screaming, I'm in hell! I'm burning! I'm in hell! Oh, God! They said he literally gnawed his tongue out of his mouth, screaming. The nurse that sat beside him, she said, for all the wealth of England, she said, I would never sit by the bed of another atheist. Voltaire made a statement. He said, I'll destroy that Bible. He spent most of his life trying to destroy it. He said, 50 years after the day I die, he said, the only place you'll find a Bible is in a museum. 50 years after he died, you know what happened? The American Bible Society moved into his house and printed the King James Bible off his printing presses.
Amen. Amen.
You know what? That's the judiciary there, brother. Don't you dare think you can beat it, brother. It'll cut you down every time judgment declares the judiciary. I'll tell you something else judgment does. Judgment decries the judged. Judgment decries the judge. Do you know why all the ACLU and all these little freedom from religion and all these little atheists run around every time some little old high school girl get up there in her speech and just say, well, I'd like to thank God. Oh! Oh! Separation of church and state! Oh! Stop that up! Stop it! You say, why? Because that judgment's falling on them. I mean, it's amazing to me. They don't even believe the Bible. They don't even believe there's a God. And yet they spend millions, Brother Chris, millions, Brother Josh, they dedicated their lives to destroying something they say is not even real. You know what? I think they believe it more than we do.
Right.
I think they put more effort trying to destroy it than we do lifting it up.
Right.
You know what judgment does? It decries the judge. Brother, judgment falls. They start coming out of the woodwork like little cockroaches. Every time somebody mentions God, every time somebody mentions a cross, puts it up, or anything, hey, dude, if it's not real, let it chill, Jill. Let it slide, Clyde. I mean, if it's not right, I'm not worried about the Easter Bunny. How many of you? You know what? They're worried about it. You know why? Judgments. Judgment decries the judge. That's why they went down there and old Judge Roy Moore set those Ten Commandments up. Set them up. Set them up in Montgomery years ago. And those devils, they went in there and impeached the guy for putting the Ten Commandments up. I saw them on the news, people running around. Oh, we got to get rid of this. Oh, look at that terrible. Say, what is it? Every time they saw it, it said judgment to
them. Amen.
Judgment decries the judge. Brother, it wouldn't bother me a bit. Something like that. John chapter 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Isn't that wonderful? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But ever have everlasting life. For God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, but to the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? What a great message. We quote it on the streets. But then there's the next verse. It says this. Here's the problem. And this is the condemnation. That light is come in the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Judgment decries the judge. Man, I hear somebody preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. I was telling someone the other day, if I'd ride by Frustville or someplace like that, and I'd see that many people out there preaching and holding up signs, I'd have a rafter right there. I'd go right through the top of the car. I'd get so excited. But we get emails from people, we get phone calls from them telling us to stop it, quit it. You say why? Judgment.
Amen.
Judgment decries the judge, brethren. That's why they don't like it. John 3:36 says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Judgment decries the judge. That's why they hate this old book. You heard that old saying, take a rock and throw it in a pack of dogs, the one that's hit will scream, amen. You know why they scream? You know why they scream every time somebody mentions God or Jesus? Because, brother, they have been hit. What's the problem?
Amen.
Judgment, judgment decries the judge.
Right.
They scream and yell about it. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 1. You know, that's why the Sodomites want to get married. That's why they were thinking, oh boy, if we could just get the United States Supreme Court to approve of what we're doing, then it'd be okay. That judgment, that guilt, and that wrath would come off of us, and we could walk down the aisle and everybody say, you're so wonderful. But God, that judgment still sits on them. Brother, that's why they go to a Christian baker trying to get him to bake them a cake so that Christian will say, oh, that's sweet, you'll be all right. They're trying to get that judgment off. Oh, judgment decries the judge.
Right. Amen.
They know it's wrong.
Amen.
They know it's wrong. I had a little, we had a boy in our church years ago. He was a little sodomite. Got saved. I led him to the Lord. Had AIDS. Went to San Francisco, lived down there with all those guys, and they abused him and all that. About 21, 22, little bitty guy like that, feminine. He got saved, saved as anybody ever met. Used to come to our church. You say, well, you let somebody like that? You better know it. I let you come, didn't I?
Amen.
Amen. You got saved? He'd come in there, man. He led a bunch of them old homosexuals to the Lord. I was talking to him one day, Brother Josh. I'll never forget as long as I live. And this kid was an atheist. I could tell you about his testimony. I don't have time for all that. But I was talking to him one time. He was telling about that life he lived. He said, you know, he said, every day I woke up and I knew this was not right. And he said, I knew I was sinning against God. And he said this, every one of them knows it. They know it. That's why they're crying. That's why they're shouting. And the judgment decries the judge. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. Verse 20. For the invisible things of the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood, the things that are made of His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21. But when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but came to vain in their imaginations. Professing themselves to be wise, they became food. Verse 24. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to the dishonor of their own bodies between themselves. He changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, even their woman to change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind.
Amen. Right.
Look at that last verse though. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Every last one of them knows there's a judgment against them. That's why they try to get accepted and approval, trying to get that awful wrath of God off of them, brother. But they can't get it all until they come to Jesus Christ. Judgment decries the judge and declares and decrees the judiciary. I just want to say judgment. Judgment deceives the jurisprudence. Jurisprudence, that's the study and the science and the philosophy of the law. You know what judgment does? It'll deceive the science and the philosophy of our world. That hurricane went through. Harvey went through. It was the most destructive natural disaster in our nation's history. It's over $190 billion and counting. That thing stopped on Texas and sit there. They've never seen it. It had done more damage than every natural disaster in our country's history combined. Katrina was 48 million. Andrew was 25. $190 billion that thing went through. Within 2 weeks later, here comes Hurricane Irma. Irma was the most powerful hurricane ever recorded. Son, I saw that thing on TV. That thing was wicked. Within two weeks, we had the most destructive hurricane that's ever seen, the most destructive natural disaster. We had the most powerful hurricane headed toward Florida. We have not had a major hurricane, folks, since the year 2005. 12 years we've been scot-free. We got the two most powerful hurricanes ever hit this nation within 2 weeks. You know what, people with any brain to think, we better start listening.
Amen.
You know what they're saying? Climate change. Judgment deceives the jurisprudence. When they try to sit down and figure it out, oh, it's climate change, sea global. Hey, dude, what happened the last 12 years? It was climate change. That wasn't climate change. That was the judgment of God headed toward this nation. I went out there and passed out tracts at Logan's the other night. Three or four of those Christians. That's when Irma was barren. They were saying, boy, people better wake up. God's headed for judgment of this nation. I walked down there and walked Cosby Lake. You know what them Christians kept telling me? God's not happy with us. deceives the jurisprudence. They try to figure this thing out, brethren. I'm going to tell you, you don't go 12 years without a hurricane if it's climate change, and all of a sudden you get to the tomb. And there's three more right now sitting out there. Right now we got record wildfires going in California. Hey, we're seeing all kind of stuff. Judgment deceives the jurisprudence. I'm going to give you one more thing. I'm going to skip that point. I got a lot more on it. Judgment demands justice. Judgment without justice is just pure nonsense is all it is. If there's a judgment, brother, there's a penalty and there's a payment for breaking the law. Otherwise, it would be useless. The laws in our country, they demand justice once you break them. Take your Bible. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Justice is the act of executing the judgment. The Bible said the Lord is known by the judgment He what? Executeth. He doesn't just say it. He brings the justice right behind it, brethren. And I'm going to tell you, that's a holy God in there. And this is His judiciary, and you won't cross it. You won't cross it. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is about the Lord Jesus. Hear this a lot at Christmas. Isaiah 9, 6 says this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on His shoulders. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon the kingdom to order it, watches, to establish it with just judgment and with justice from henceforth. Judgment demands justice. Jeremiah 23:5 said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper. Talking about the Lord. And He shall execute just judgment and justice in all the earth. Judgment demands justice, brother. Psalms 89:14 says this, Justice and judgment are the habitation of Thy throne. We have a lot of judgment a lot of times in America, but not much justice, brethren. I remember years ago, my daughter went to school with a couple down there in Pensacola. Her name was Amanda Blackburn. Remember on the news, she was raped and murdered by that guy in Illinois, Indiana. Her husband was a pastor. They went to school with them, Pensacola Christian College. Here they were up there serving God and had a little pastor. His pastor had a beautiful little young wife, had one child. I think she may have been pregnant with another. Guys, y'all members all on the news. And some people broke in her house. Some guys did and raped her and murdered her. My daughter called me and she's crying. She said, Dad, why was God? Why did God let them get away with this? You know, I told her, I said, kiddo, God didn't let them get away with nothing. You see, God's going, there's a payday coming. And this earth down here is not all the justice where it's at. I said, you better believe God will get justice, whatever goes down on here. R.G. Lee used to preach a message called Payday Someday. He preached that message over 1,500 times. I got several copies of it at the house over there about Ahab. And he said, payday's coming someday. Judgment demands justice. Turn to Isaiah chapter 59. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, judgment is coming to America. No nation in history, none of them, has done what this nation's done. Babylon didn't do it. Egypt didn't do it. Syria didn't do it. Cyrus didn't do it. No other nation in the history of the world has ever approved same-sex marriage. That's abomination to God. If that Bible has any truth to it, brother, we are in trouble. Judgment demands justice. Look at Isaiah 59. Look what it says, Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's head is not shortened that it cannot say, neither is ear heavy, cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Sound like America. Verse 4. None calleth for justice. None pleadeth any pleadeth for trust, for truth. Verse 7. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. We've killed millions, over 100 million babies in abortion. Verse 8. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made their crooked paths. Wherever goeth, wherein shall they not know peace? Verse 9, there is no, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. Verse 10, we grope for the wall like the blind. Everybody looking for a wall. Brother, this is the wall. Amen. Verse 11, we roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none for salvation, but is far from us. Verse 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the hard words of falsehood, and judgment is turned backwards and justice standeth far off. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departed from evil maketh himself a prey. That's where we're at today, brethren. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased them that there was no judgment. Judgment demands justice. Amen. Ronald Reagan said years ago, 1984, if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. Amen. Ronald Reagan said at the National Religious Broadcasters, I said that we must be cautious in claiming God is on our side. I think the real question we must ask is, are we on His side? You see, God don't move for nobody. He's not going to move for America. The Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Go down the history books, folk. Babylon, Egypt, Persia, Greece, Alexander the Great. Go on down the list, the Ottoman Empire, the Spanish Empire, the Roman Empire. Go down the list. Judgment demands justice. Babylon. Brother, you're talking about building a wall. Babylon had walls, Brother Jeff. They were 320 feet high. They were 80 feet wide, Brother Robert. Four chariots and horses could ride on top of those walls, Brother Josh. 320 feet high. 80 feet wide. That was the outer walls. They had inner walls bigger than that. Then he had two double layer walls. They had more gold in Babylon than the United States ever see. That great kingdom, it'd make Birmingham, it'd make the United States look like Birmingham. You know what? It's over where Iraq is. Those archaeologists get over there and dig up, and they're lucky if they can find a piece of a brick from that thing that's left. Judgment demands justice, brethren. You won't defy God. Every one of those nations fell. Franklin Graham said years ago, he said when the Supreme Court passed same-sex marriage, he said America was shaking her fist in the face of a holy God and daring him to judgment. You know what they put on that Judge White House when after they did what Obama did? They put the color of the rainbow. You know what that rainbow is to the Lord? It's judgment. It's judgment what that was. Billy Graham said in 1958, folks, we have an idea in this country that God has changed to accommodate Himself for Americans. We have an idea that we Americans are God's chosen people, that God loves us more than any other people, and that we are God's blessed. He said this, we have an idea today that God is like a Santa Claus sitting on a cloud somewhere with a harp in His hand, forgiving everybody. God is not like that at all. God is a God of judgment. Amen. He is a God of righteousness and judgment and holiness. And the Bible says here that He will not wink at sin.
Amen.
1958, He went on to say, If God does not bring judgment to America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. That was 1958. Take your Bible, turn to Malachi chapter 2. Everybody here, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. I'm going to close with this. I want you to look at this, Malachi chapter 2. Judgment declares the judge, brethren. God's in control of this deal, brethren. You might as well get that through your head. It's not Congress, it's not Trump, it's not the president, it's not Kamwantung over there, North Korea, it's not ISIS, it's not the... It's God. God's in control. That's His judiciary right there. Go against that, you're in trouble. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. You know what this country's done? Just like Franklin Graham said, they shook their fists in the face of a holy God. This nation has done things, folks, there's no other nation in history done to find God. Listen, homosexuality is against the law in Russia. I gave you here Uganda. Over there in Uganda, it's against the law. And Obama told him one time, he said, if you don't legalize, if you don't allow it, we're not going to give you any money. I told you where that president said, you keep your money, we're going to obey the Bible. It's against the law in China. This nation right here promotes it, glamorizes it, glorifies it, and God destroyed a city for it. He says, abomination. No other sin in the Bible like that. When I did preach that before, look at Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17, look at this. Here's America. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied Him? When we say, everyone that doeth evil is good. That's what they're saying right now. We're the bad ones that believe the Bible. The homosexual, they're the good guy. Everyone that is good is doing evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delighteth in them. Now watch this. Look at this last part. Or where is the God of judgment? You know what they're doing there? They're daring God to judge them. That's what they're doing. That's what America. They're saying, okay, God, we're going to do it this way. We're going to say those evil are good. And God, we dare you. Where is that God of judgment at? I got news for you, folks. Buckle up. Buckle up. Let's bow our heads to prayer. Father, we thank you.